News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
And good morning from Dan and Dalton. And broke 40 degrees at 41 now. Clear skies. Been down in the upper 30s most of the morning. It is 8:07 on FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings.
And it is a Tuesday. That means it's time to talk with our Tuesday guest, Quinn Hillier. You can read his work at the Washington Examiner, also his website. You can sign up for a newsletter, quinnhillier.com. Good morning, Quinn.
Good morning, guys. How y'all doing?
Hey, we're doing fantastic. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving holiday, Quinn.
Absolutely did. It was wonderful.
So while a lot of the national focus right now is on, of course, the Trump transition, everything that's going on internationally, we have a big year coming up here, not just locally, but statewide, and the gubernatorial race, of course, they're at the top of the ticket coming up next year, along with our mayoral race here in Mobile and a number of statewide and other local races. And one name that I found interesting, and I mentioned this a couple weeks ago once I heard him finally respond to Governor Ivey's attempts and eventual successful attempt to dislodge him from his role, but Kent Davis, is there a future for the former VA commissioner in politics in this state?
Well, first of all, this would be 2026.
I'm sorry.
Our mayor's race is 25, but the governor's race is 26.
That's right. And it'll heat up this next year as we start seeing names kind of jump in for the following year.
Exactly. And I see two likely things coming from Kent Davis. He was the head of the Veterans Affairs Department of the state, who was unceremoniously and probably illegally fired by Governor Kay Ivey.
Mm-hmm.
And I do expect at least one, if not two, lawsuits from him against Ivey. In fact, I'm surprised they have taken so long to file them. But on top of that, I have started hearing, not from Davis, but from people who are big supporters of Davis, that they want him to run for governor, that he would start with essentially an organization of more than 350,000 veterans in the state, because he is immensely popular among all the veterans of the state, from what I gather. And you know, it might be a good thing to get an outsider, somebody who is not steeped in what are basically, you know, I'm not talking about major New Jersey-ish corruption, but the sort of low-level, everyday corruption of Alabama's system, which is, I think, endemic. And it's sickening. And you get somebody who has essentially been an outsider, but who has done marvelous things when he had a chance to run the Veterans Organization, the Veterans Department, and you know, he's an admiral, sterling record in the military. That might be the kind of guy that we need. So he's worth watching, because Alabama has in the past decided to go for a relative outsider on numerous occasions.
Yeah, I guess we do have the history of that, but would the position of governor, just say he runs, he wins, suddenly Kent Davis now is the governor, would his lack of experience in a position like that, I understand Rear Admiral and all that, but is it murky enough in Montgomery that if you don't have any experience, you don't know what's gonna hit you blindsided one way or the other?
Well, no, not for him, because even though he's certainly never been in elective politics and never been in politics, put it that way.
Right.
But he has been in government, because he served the last 5 years running and reforming and improving the Department of Veterans Affairs. And in doing so, he certainly has seen how Montgomery operates.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's not coming at it entirely cold.
True.
And, of course, he does have the administrative experience, not just at the Department of Veterans Affairs, but as an admiral. And again, a sterling reputation, not just in the state, but nationwide.
Mm-hmm.
And so he can, you know, he certainly knows how to hire people who have administrative abilities. You know, he's got a proven executive capabilities, and that's what might make him very interesting and possibly effective.
It would be interesting if he tossed his hat into that race, but it's already kind of gearing up, depending on who you ask, to be a pretty stacked field, Quinn. And I know a lot of folks want to go ahead and crown Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth as the heir apparent to Governor Ivey, but depending on who you talk to, different names have been floated out there. I've heard Tommy Tuberville's name, even though he has more recently said that he plans to run for Senate once again. I've heard some names of local politicians. Do you think that'll end up being a pretty heated race by the time we get around to 26?
It could be a heated race, or it could be a walkover for Ainsworth, depending on how potential candidates look at the field and how their polling and their fundraising capabilities look. Steve Marshall, the Attorney General, is another name that I've heard, and I'm pretty sure he wants to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, it could be a one- or two-person race, or it could be a five- or six-person race. I don't think you can have one of these fields of 20 serious candidates. Unlike our mayor's race next year, we won't have 20, but you might have a good 7 or 8 very serious candidates for mayor. Governor on the Republican side, which is probably the side that's going to win, in the Republican primary, I don't think you'll have more than maybe 3 or at most 4 serious candidates, and maybe not even that.
I think that Tuberville's going to enjoy the fact that the Republicans are in power, because he was so frustrated. You would hear nearly any in every interview. He was so down on the whole process up in Washington, D.C., and the way it was playing out with the Democrats having most of the chips, enough of the chips, right?
Yeah.
And so it seems to me that he would enjoy the Trump win and the slim as it is Republican House and Senate.
Yeah, Senate by 3 seats.
Yeah,
well,
so
they have 53 seats in the Senate.
Quinn, would you agree that maybe Tuberville would be more enticed to just stick it out in the Senate because of that fact?
Well, that's what he announced about a week ago, that he plans to run for re-election to the Senate, and that's exactly what I expect.
Okay.
Quinn, and, you know, I don't want to take us too far off the beaten path here and what we want to talk about this morning, but with the congressional redistricting and the Supreme Court set to hear the Louisiana case here very soon, I guess, and their redistricting, at least one district looks crazy, kind of like our District 2 now. But a three-panel federal court will be looking, I guess, at the 2023 legislative map that was drawn, the map that was drawn up by our legislators before the special master got involved, and we end up using the special master's map. Anyway, this is a long way for me to ask. We have another 6 years until our next census. Do you think these districts with the Supreme Court and its makeup, do you think they change before then, and maybe we get a more District 2 that looks like it did in previous elections?
No, I don't. I think we should, but we won't. I think the Supreme Court has, through its collective unwisdom, has decided that Alabama absolutely should have two so-called minority-majority districts, and that having had the courts draw up a system or, you know, a map that it says complies, I don't think the Supreme Court is going to overturn what a lower court did in response to an earlier Supreme Court ruling. Now, Louisiana is a different case. Its map is, if anything, even worse than Alabama's. And so you could have the Supreme Court overturn what Louisiana did. Of course, what Louisiana did was largely in response to the rulings in Alabama, oddly enough. But they could overturn what Louisiana did, but not overturn the latest in Alabama. And then we go all the way to 2030 with districts that make absolutely no sense here and that are not logically defensible, and I don't think morally defensible either.
Yeah, again, unless I read it incorrectly, and I don't think I did, it just sounds so insane. That Louisiana district, I believe, has Baton Rouge and Shreveport in the same district.
Corner to corner.
Yeah, that's a strange one there. The big news this week, Quinn, and there's been a lot of big news, but Late Sunday night, President Joe Biden, after so many times saying, I will not be pardoning my son. We are rule of law. We're going to do things the way they're meant to be done. He throws that pardon, not just for the crimes he's been convicted of or even accused of, but a blanket pardon stretching from January 1, 2014.
It just makes our imagination run wild.
Until the first of this month.
Crimes that we could imagine back to 2014.
Yeah, and your thoughts on the big Biden pardon that was expected.
One word, despicable. No moral, ethical justification whatsoever for it. And it's appalling. He goes out in very bad odor, even among liberals. I mean, except for the, you know, wackiest crazies on the left, even most liberal outlets yesterday and liberal politicians were saying this is inexcusable and would be unacceptable, except, of course, we have to accept it because Biden does have the power to do it. But that doesn't make it right. It's absurd.
You said no more. I mean, I can excuse it. I can excuse why he did it. It's his son, right? It doesn't make it right.
But he could be covering up for himself, too.
Oh, he definitely
all
is.
These things that could be found out, and it's already, and maybe we still find him out, but there's no punishment.
Well, here's the weird thing. In protecting his son, he actually does sort of open himself up. This was a very interesting article I saw yesterday, that now that his son cannot be prosecuted for anything from 14 to now, 2014 to now, that means his son is no longer able to cite the Fifth Amendment and say, I can't testify, because the Fifth Amendment is to avoid self-incrimination. Well, if you're already pardoned, there's nothing you can be incriminated for. So Congress could and probably will call him to testify under oath. Mm-hmm. And, of course, if you're under oath, you can the pardon doesn't go forward. It only goes backwards.
Yeah.
So, A, either he's under penalty of perjury, which means he's in jeopardy again, or he's got to tell the truth, and they're going to ask him, what did your father know? When did your father know it? Why did your father do? You know, he's going to have to answer a lot of questions that could incriminate his father.
Well, let's say he doesn't show up when he's asked to show up. They hit him with contempt of Congress. No, he won't. There's been two people that have gone to jail for that, and they were both Trump allies. I guess if Trump was president, maybe he'd go to jail. But
Trump will be president, and Trump's people will be running the Justice Department. And meanwhile, of course, if it's Congress that calls him, he will be in contempt of Congress, which is controlled by Republicans. So the Republicans will almost certainly hold him in contempt if he doesn't show up. And then, just like Steve Bannon, Hunter Biden would go to jail if he refuses to testify to Congress.
Now, I know this is a silly question after all the years we've seen their actions, but the water carriers for Biden, who for years were saying, oh, he's not like Trump, he's not going to pardon Hunter, they were out there front and center. I don't know if you saw the Dan Goldman, congressman, yesterday put on the spot where they played a clip of him saying, in no way ever will Biden Hunter pardon his son. And he had to answer to that music yesterday. But all these people who came out and defended Biden and said he will not be pardoning him, do you think they ever get tired of acting like stooges? I mean, they look ridiculous this week.
Well, they do look ridiculous this week. Then again, you know, they're stooges for both sides, and I wish people would stop being stooges and start actually upholding principle instead of saying, this is my team and this is my guy, right or wrong. How about, these are my principles, and I'm going to hold everybody to the same principles. That's how you should go about it.
But you know what, and also, it's just, we've got to get a break in here, but it's not just what he did, okay? I'm not going to pardon him. He said it many, many times that he does. And then he says his explanation makes no sense at all about some like Hunter was a target or
raw
give
politics.
Me a break.
Oh yeah.
Come on.
Well, there's a local angle to this too, by the way.
Okay.
Oh, let's hear that.
We'll get to that. 8:21 now. FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings with Dan and Quinn along with Dalton. What's going on, Dan and Dalton? FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings at 8:26. Our guest Quinn Hillier on a Tuesday, joining us now.
Yeah, and Quinn, we were talking last segment, and you said there's a local portion of the story here when it comes to what we're talking about, the Biden pardon.
Yeah.
Lay that out for us.
Okay, so Biden was pardoned, Hunter Biden pardoned for two things. One is tax charges. That has nothing to do with the local angle. But the other was that gun charge.
Right.
Well, he was charged under the same statutory subclause as our local former county commissioner, Stephen Nodine. And Hunter Biden's offense under that subclause was much worse than Nodine's. This is the gun possession while also
doing drugs.
Possession, yeah, doing and some controlled substance. And as it was applied to Nodine, it was probably unconstitutional in the first place, but that's still being fought out in courts. But I fully expect that somewhere in the first week or two of Trump's administration that a pardon will be coming down for Stephen Nodine because, again, Nodine's offense under that was a much lesser offense than Hunter Biden's. And Nodine has some Florida connections. What that means is Nodine's halfway to being able to run for office again. It's actually a lot easier to get the presidential pardon for Trump than it is to get his state charges expunged.
Yeah.
It's a much more complicated process there. But if, as I expect, that pardon comes from Trump, and Trump's pardon will say, in light of the Hunter Biden pardon, then it is only fair to pardon everybody else under that you know, same dubious subclause. That will get Nodine really talking. He's already been talking, but really talking about making a political comeback here. Whether it will be successful or not, I don't know, but it'll get him halfway there.
Yeah, well, it would be entertaining nonetheless, I'm sure. Yeah. Quinn, great stuff. I hate we didn't get to the nominations. We should be able to spend plenty of time on that next week. For folks who want to read what you're putting out every day, Washington Examiner and QuinnHillier.com, they can sign up for the newsletter, right?
Yeah, although this week, because I was off last week, my newsletter went out even though I had nothing new in it, and that's embarrassing. But usually, every Tuesday morning, QuinnHillier.com, you sign up for the newsletter for free. It's really easy, so please go do that, and you can see everything I write.
All right, and if Taysom Hill reaches out for a new ACL, you'll do that, right? You'd give him one?
Yeah.
He is one of the most entertaining and admirable football players I've ever seen. You gotta love his attitude. You gotta love everything about how he acts on the field, and as far as I can tell, off the field as well.
I think they amputated his left leg. Quinn would give him his.
I think so.
Quinn, thanks so much, Quinn, and we'll talk again soon, okay?
Thanks a lot.
Quinn, a big New Orleans Saints fan, of course. 8:30 coming up. Interesting stuff about Space Command and FBI in our state. We'll get to that coming up on Mobile Mornings.
Good morning from Dan and Dalton, 8:35, Mobile Mornings. You only have to go back in time just a few years. You were playing quotes from Democrats from like 2009, and it sounded like they were Republicans.
Yeah,
know?
Yeah. We heard Schumer.
Yeah, Schumer. That was really interesting. So anyway, pardoning a president's son could be an effort to obstruct justice. Those were the words of Adam Schiff, the Democrat from California. That was in 2018. His comment is relevant, of course, after what Biden has done now. Many legal experts believe that Hunter may have committed Foreign Agents Registration Act violations. Anyway, Schiff's statement was delivered on CNN in relation to proposed legislation. The proposal was at the time directed at then President Donald Trump and his family. What exactly would it do? CNN's Don Lemon said. Schiff went on to explain, well, it would do is say that in the event that the president pardons anyone in an investigation in which the president is a witness, a subject, or the target, those investigation files will be turned over to the Congress immediately. All right, let's do it. The Congress ought to know whether the president is using the pardon power to obstruct justice. Well, is there any real mystery here?
No.
Anyway, I think it's clearly constitutional. It doesn't prohibit him from granting a pardon, even a pardon he shouldn't grant, but it does say that we will be able to at least find out whether the president is using the power to shield himself from liability. I think the president is doing both. He's shielding himself from liability.
Yep.
And he's trying to look like Father of the Year. And he's also keeping his kid out of prison. That's what's going on there. Adam Schiff made that pronouncement when Trump was the president. Nice job.
Yeah, that the congressman out of New York, Goldman. Is it Dan Goldman?
Yeah,
I know I said it earlier. But
yeah.
Heir to the Levi's.
Is he really?
Yeah, I think he's a Levi's heir. So okay. He's from that family.
Okay.
He doesn't act like most of the folks that wear Levi's.
No.
But so he was confronted with kind of the same thing as Schumer there. I think he was on CNN, and whoever was hosting that interview with Goldman said, I want you to watch this with me. And it was him on her show.
Oh, wow.
On CNN earlier, maybe earlier this year or last year, saying the same thing, except he was actually talking about
Biden. And
Joe Biden. Yeah, he was like, yeah. He's a rule of law guy. He would never do this. It's out of the question. He's never going to pardon his son. So he's sitting there in an interview yesterday watching himself say that.
Wow.
And then has to kind of try to dig himself out of that hole, and did so poorly, by the way.
Well,
he said, well, that happened, I think his excuse was, he said, that was before the plea deal fell through. Since the plea deal fell through for Hunter Biden, then it makes total sense that his father would pardon him. And she went, actually, you said that after the plea deal fell through. So he did not do a good job of defending himself. But to me, I mean, it's obvious that can something be this controversial and not be controversial, or maybe I should say it's controversial but not surprising in the slightest. If you peel away the cover of the onion, you start just thinking about things. If your president and your family is in legal trouble,
mm-hmm.
even if it's true and they've been doing all these terrible things and pay for play and selling out Ukraine and, the China allegations, he's using them, or they're using Hunter to get closer to Joe as he's VP. And mm-hmm. I mean, everyone knows the whole story. Most families would do the exact same thing. Most fathers would do the exact same thing that Joe Biden's doing. He's keeping his family out of trouble.
Well, he's also getting heat from his family. Like, hey, man,
you better do this.
You better do this. And yesterday it came up again. I cannot believe this. That the drug use is coming up as if that's
an excuse.
As an excuse. He's a victim. He was making a lot of poor decisions. It's on The View, a little dust up with Whoopi.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the ladies brought up, why would he lie to us? Why was he lying? Lying, lying, lying.
Stop saying he's lying.
Stop saying he's lying is what Whoopi said. And she was comparing it to Trump in some way. And
she said it was Trump's fault that he pardoned Hunter Biden, basically, more or less. I forget her reasoning for why it was Trump's fault.
And she talked about, and look, he was high on drugs. He was going to make a lot of bad decisions. What are you talking about? When do we break down a case? How many people have broken and entered into a home in Mobile or Loxley or wherever in our listening area? And they were high, or they were buzzed on something.
Yeah.
And is that really? It's like, oh, well, I didn't know that.
It's one of the leading indicators, actually,
exactly.
Of crime.
I didn't realize, Tommy, that you were high as hell. Just take the flat screen.
Right.
It's all yours.
Yeah, if you were sober, I'd be very angry.
Exactly,
right now.
Because that'd be such a clear decision that you made and came to a very poor decision while not intoxicated. But if you're strung out on drugs, hey, we get it.
And the charges that they actually hit him with and the ones he was convicted with, for the taxes especially, should have punishment for that. The gun charge itself, to me, I didn't care so much about the actual act. because I think that happens all across America all the time. Not that it makes it right, but I felt that that was kind of something they charged him with. Well, I thought the left, the DOJ and Weiss, who they put in charge of that, I thought the gun charge was more just to say, hey, look, we are going after him, even though they let a lot of the other more serious allegations go away through the statute of limitations.
Right.
And the right, I think, were thinking, the people that don't like the Bidens were like, well, if you're going to get him with something, I guess at least you got him with something and didn't. So the fact that that charge is going away, the one I'm concerned with is the fact that he's on Burisma cutting deals with Ukraine.
Of course.
Once Ukraine started trying to look into that, you had a prosecutor over there who was starting to delve into why is Hunter Biden on the board of Burisma, and then Joe Biden gets him fired while he's vice president, and it's crystal clear and it's on camera, and he's basically acting as an unregistered foreign agent. We have the texts, the emails, everything in Ukraine, in China, with all these other different, you know, governments of countries, and that just wasn't on the table for the most part as far as any trials. So now, you know, complete clean slate for Hunter Biden from January 1st, 2014 to yesterday. And I would expect a James Biden clemency or pardon, I guess, for any crimes he may or may not have committed right before January 20th.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't be surprised if Joe pardons himself as well, just to kind of get everything out
of there.
I don't know.
Get it done. And so now with the pardoning of Hunter and eventually himself and James.
Yeah, his brother, if he does that.
And you're right, probably will. Does that mean that any investigation is over with? Or can an investigation continue so where we can say, okay, well, he's not going to jail, but we have found out A, B, C, D, E, Q, and P, that this is some of the activity that he was involved in, and we've got the proof.
I'd like for there to be proof out there, because the Bidens aren't the only family that's doing that.
Yeah.
They're not the only high-ranking politician who's doing that. I want the facts to be out there and in the open. I wonder if it's even worth this Republican House or Senate to investigate, because the main reason you do any investigation front and center like that is to put it on TV and use it as fuel for the next election, the midterm, the next presidential election. Do you need to keep going after the Bidens specifically now? Because it seems like once Joe's out, they don't really have any more footholds in the federal government. So maybe it wouldn't be worth it to the Republicans to keep diving into what they were doing while Joe was VP.
So maybe America, I would think our listeners would want to know.
Mm-hmm.
I think, but maybe by and large, America would just be kind of an annoyance to a lot of people. Like, man, what are they dragging this thing out for? Maybe. But if they, just between you and I, wouldn't you want to know what happened?
Yeah, more than anything.
Okay.
I definitely do. Joel texting in, he says, Hunter Biden is about as stupid as his daddy. He'll mess up in a few years and they'll get his ass on current charges. Chris says, both of you forgetting the old saying, the son does time for crimes of the father. Terry says, Social Security office is now appointment only, no more drop-ins. Okay, thank you, Terry. Appreciate that. Let's see. Nodine is too dumb to know when he's beaten. This texter regarding Quinn saying that Steve Nodine might jump back into the political arena. Let's see. Mr. Plot says, does anyone on this planet run on more than, does anyone on this planet running on more than STEM power actually believe that any of the Bidens or Clintons or anyone of the sort would ever see the inside of a jail cell? Let's move along, kids, and get this country straightened out. This texter says, Joe Biden sealed the deal. He is now officially the worst president ever as far as the pardoning of his son. Again, were you surprised at all that he pardoned Hunter? I knew it was coming. I think everyone did.
Well, I think when you read that I thought there was a chance that that might be something that Trump would consider, but I wouldn't want him to do it. But when you look at those sentencing dates
coming up,
a couple of weeks away, he had to do it. If he was going to do it, he had to do it.
One of the excuses I saw last night,
he had to do it now,
was that they were worried Hunter would flip when it came to sentencing, that once he was up against it and they were about to give him time, that he might flip on some other members of the Biden cartel there. Or maybe, I have trouble believing he would do that, especially if you knew he'd be pardoned or granted clemency right after. But anyway.
Well, that's something. Can't even trust. Well, and Hunter Biden for a long time was not somebody you would want to trust, obviously. But keep in mind, as Whoopi said, the poor dear was on drugs.
That's right. That's as good an excuse as any, I guess, to get rid of his charges. 8:45. So with the transition team here in full gear for Trump as they try to put the team together before January 20th, of course, we're going to see some pretty controversial nominees that are heading into the Senate for confirmation.
Some of that is today, isn't it?
I know they've been. Does it start today? I know they were talking about January 3rd getting it. Maybe they meant December 3rd, which would be today.
I think there's some of that's going on today.
Well, that'd be interesting. I know the nominees have been making their way around the Capitol and talking with a bunch of the different senators that they will need to confirm them. But kind of on the heels of that, the state of Alabama will be looking for a couple things. First off, I think Space Command may be the number one thing on most people's list as far as wanting to see the Trump administration bring that back after it was initially awarded to Huntsville to be home of Space Command. Then Trump leaves office, Biden comes in, hands it over to Colorado Springs, which has been kind of the interim head coach of the Space Command.
yeah, kind of.
Because they have the Air Force right there. So it's fully expected to come back to Alabama, and you had Congressman Dale Strong. He was on the Dale Jackson Show, if you've heard Dale on with Jeff or Sean in the past on WVNN. I thought he had some interesting things to say about what he expects, and we've heard Tuberville say this. I think we've heard, was it Ainsworth? Another high-ranking state politician said they feel pretty confident that Space Command will be coming back. Well, here's Congressman Dale Strong on his thoughts on the Dale Jackson Show.
Donald Trump is going to do what is right for national security. He is not out here trying to get votes. He wants America to be safe. He understands what we have here at Redstone Arsenal. The greater than 40,000 acres behind the wire. He understands our education level. He's going to make the decision based on what is best for national security. Get ready. Space Command's coming to Huntsville.
Get ready. Space Command is coming to Huntsville. His line there that I think was a pretty straightforward line.
You know, and we knew where Trump stood from the beginning. He obviously...
He granted it initially.
He did. And so we really haven't heard, and Trump's got a lot on his plate, but he hasn't made a statement as of yet since the election, right? He hadn't said anything about Space Command.
No.
We just assume, knowing what his initial idea was and you know what he did when he was in office, we just assume that's what's going to happen.
Well, yeah, and you know, you talk to anyone in politics and they will all tell you they have Trump's ear, at least if they're on the right. So really don't know who to believe, but it seems like there's a lot of confidence that Space Command will be back in the state before long.
You rather have Trump focus on Space Command or the Bayway? Because somebody's saying they got his ear for the Bayway, right?
Yes, that's right. Personally, I would prefer to see some federal money come into the Bayway.
Me too.
But I'm also excited about Space Command being in our state. The other thing here with the FBI having such a presence in the northern part of the state already, I think Dale Strong said they have 30,000 FBI employees. They call it FBI HQ2, or maybe he said 30,000 may be coming down. Anyway, there's a lot of talk with Kash Patel being the nominee, or presumed nominee, to take over as FBI director following Christopher Wray. If Patel can get through that confirmation process, he's had big talk about moving the FBI out of Langley and getting it as far away from D.C. and that area as possible. And one of the thoughts has been, well, there's already a FBI headquarters in Alabama. Would you move the whole thing down and make a massive one in the state? Dale Strong doesn't want to see that. I have that quote coming up. But here's what he has to say about the FBI and what it looks like moving forward there. This was on the Dale Jackson Show.
You think about what the DOJ has been a part of, especially these last 4 years. You start looking at what, you know, Christopher Wray says he's not leaving. I'll promise you one thing. Donald Trump will remove Christopher Wray as the FBI director. The problem is not with all of the FBI. The problem's with the fifth floor in Washington, D.C., you know, using the FBI. Think about it. They forgot about the wiretap Trump Tower. Anybody believe there's a problem with that? You start looking at what else they've done. Those FISA warrants used it against American people. It's only supposed to be used against foreigners. And This DOJ has just absolutely created a circus.
Yeah, and last clip I wanted to play from that interview was him talking about the possibility of them moving the main FBI headquarters to Huntsville.
Yeah.
HQ2.
I've got some thoughts about that. Okay.
So right now we've got about 2,200 in seats. We should be up to about 4,500 in a couple of years. The thing is, we're already FBI HQ2. There might be some other tentacles that would work perfectly here. We'll evaluate that. I think Jim Jordan hit it on the head. He got in a committee and he said, look, we ought to move it all to Huntsville, and I don't agree with that because of how efficiently it has been run. And the FBI personnel that are here, they want a better America. The problem is at headquarters in D.C., and I think what Cash is talking about and that he will do is let's break this thing up. There's a bunch of states that can offer certain things, like we're doing the accounting, we're doing the cyber, we're doing the training. We've proven that that works, but I don't think that you need to move 30,000 FBI agents to Huntsville. I don't think that would be good, but there may be some other locations that it would work for America to do that, and I will support it if the president recommends it.
30,000 agents there in headquarters in Langley.
If you move Falls. A lot of what is in Washington, D.C., for instance, the FBI, you just move them. And I realize he's saying it's the fifth floor, it's the top, that's the problem. But in a way, isn't Huntsville then becoming more like Washington, D.C.?
Well,
you look at the way that city votes, it's a lot more purple than Birmingham, Mobile, etc.
Yeah. Yeah, it might maybe alter some state races. I don't know. But can you get these departments far enough away from D.C. that they start acting more independently? That's the big question.
852 FM Talk 106.5. We'll look over a few texts, tell you who is on the Jeff Poore Show on the way, all around the corner on Mobile Mornings.
Thanks, Kane. 854 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. This segment brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Trey Bennett leading his fantastic crew, and they've been doing it for over 16 years here on the Gulf Coast, making junk disappear. They make it easy on you, too. All you have to do is point. It's easy to set up your appointment. Just call the number, 1-800-GOT-JUNK, or you can do it online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. Then, whether you have them out of your business or your home, they'll be in and out in no time, and you can get on with your day. They treat your home or your business with all the respect that you would expect someone who's coming into your territory, and they're efficient and very, very clean at 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Call today and get a free on-site estimate with all-inclusive pricing, no hidden fees, so they don't hit you with surprise charges after all the work is said and done. 307 five stars, which is the best you can get. Google reviews for 1-800-GOT-JUNK in Mobile. Claire, just a couple weeks ago, said the guys were very professional and did a great job. It was so easy to get a free estimate as well as book an appointment. So do the same today. Set up your appointment after all the family came in for Thanksgiving. Get rid of that junk. You can sign up at 1-800-GOT-JUNK online.
What a mess they left.
What a big mess. online, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com or the phone number, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.
I mean, it was good to see him at first. All right, let's on the you know how it is.
Oh yeah.
All right, columnist Paul DeMarco, Breitbart News Bradley J, and Al Gap's John Wall all on the Jeff Poore Show coming up in minutes.
Texter here, V&H. Why are you questioning this now? Where were you when it was cogent? You were foolishly following the narrative as they have led you. So I asked, what topic are you referring to? He said, Hunter Biden in Ukraine. Texter. We've been talking about it as long as it's been going on. The reason we're talking about it now is because it's in the news. I don't think that's that difficult to understand.
Yeah.
We've been talking about it.
How are we bigger fools than anybody?
It's not like I woke up today and go, this Ukraine thing stinks with the Bidens. This texter says, let's see here. Okay, we read that one. Terry says, now Hunter can't claim the fifth before Congress or other law enforcement investigations. Quinn brought that up, and I've seen a lot of people act like this is some big win since Hunter can't plead the fifth. He doesn't have to plead the fifth. He won't plead the fifth. He won't talk. You don't have to worry about that. They're going to try to get him with contempt of Congress. That never works. It only worked on Steve Bannon and Peter Navarro. So Hunter Biden's clear and free. He doesn't have to worry about anything going on. Gardner says, can we ever get some lame duck laws to prevent this madness? Yeah, I don't know what you're supposed to do about the whole lame duck thing when you have administrations that are so opposed in the way they see the world.
Yeah.
And, of course, the Biden administration wants to ramp things up and try to keep this money train rolling as long as possible. Trump was to shut things down. What do you do in the interim? Two and a half months.
They were screwing up the ceasefire, too, with some language they used.
It's the weirdest ceasefire of all time, where they keep shooting back at each other.
Yeah, but also their intervention in this, reading yesterday, they misspoke or something went on, and it was leading to the ceasefire collapse as much as anything.
Jeez.
So Biden, his shots with the clock running down are varied and possibly very hurtful.
They could be. Martin says, well, boo frickin' who, using the on drugs excuse. Talking about the Hunter Biden thing.
Martin, you'll never be invited on The View.
Mr. Plott says, can't wait to see the big golden T's on the apex of the new bridge structure. You think they're going to trump it out? I don't know about that. Texter here, do you think Huntsville could one day be like what happened in Tennessee, where Memphis was always going for the big time with things like the NFL? Then Nashville took over. Could Huntsville one day blow by Birmingham? Depending on who you ask, they may have already blew by Birmingham.
Yeah, in some
regard. At least population-wise.
Yeah. Birmingham Metro, of course, much thicker than Huntsville, but where would you rather live?
I think it's
Huntsville.
School-wise, crime-wise.
Right.
Yeah, all of that. 8:58, Jeff Porcho on the way. He's got some great guests coming up as well. Stay tuned for that, all on the way right here with the Jeff Porcho. Paul DeMarco, Bradley J., and John Wall join in minutes.